Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And as always, I'm Ben Bolin. I write some videos here at the same website.
Hey, Ben, I got something we got to maybe kind of knock out of the way before we get started here.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yep, we've got a name change coming. And the name change is going to be happening within the next couple weeks or so. We're not exactly sure the exact date it's going to happen, but we do have a new name, and the name is Car Stuff. So, watch for that change coming up in the next few weeks.
I don't think we really need a segue because we're continuing our engine series today.
Yes. And this is a good one. I think a lot of people are familiar with the engines we're talking about today. They're two-stroke engines. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe this is another one where, whether you know it or not, you probably have heard two-stroke engines or seen two-stroke engines, right, or you own maybe even a couple of these. You do know if you own one because you have to do certain things in order to keep these things running. They're not like a four-stroke engine that we're used to in our cars. It's a little bit different, but we'll talk about that as we go along here. But I don't know, where do you want to start with this thing?
Well, let's start with the strokes, because people will recall that when we talk about the strokes, we're talking about intake, compression, combustion, exhaust.
Perfect.
And when we're talking about two strokes, We're winnowing down these strokes a bit.
Exactly. Really, there's really two strokes, just as you mentioned, and the only strokes that there are is a compression stroke and a combustion stroke. So it's this rapid fire. It's extremely fast running engine. It's just compression, combustion, back and forth, super fast. And that's one of the major differences. Now, what's weird about this is that intake and exhaust also happen, but they happen simultaneously with other actions within the compression and combustion cycles. So all the actions are happening, they just don't have their own stroke specifically for that.
Okay, all right.
Makes sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So when we say that there are the two strokes in a two-stroke engine are compression and combustion, the other missing two strokes from the four-stroke engine are also happening. They're just not happening in a sequence. They're happening at the same time.
Well, they're happening. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, they're happening. Yeah, exactly. You're right. But there's just not a stroke that's designated for that part of the process.
And let's go ahead maybe and talk about where we would find some of these engines, if that's cool.
Like yeah, no problem.
Leaf blowers.
Exactly. Yeah. You know the type of engine we're talking about. Do you own one?
Yeah, I own. Are you kidding?
Do you have? How many things do you have that have a two-stroke engine in them?
Working or interesting?
Interesting.
Okay, interesting. We count working and just the ones I can't throw away. I you're gonna laugh at me, man. I have five.
Five. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Two of those are weed whackers that have seen better days, that I sort of inherited from my dad because they didn't work. And, you know, I love to get in and tinker with especially small engines. Mm-hmm. So these are kind of running projects of mine. But, a lot of the smaller yard appliances or, excuse me, yard tools that are have any sort of power source will oftentimes be two-stroke engines.
Yeah, that's right. Two-stroke engines, and I've only got one that's operational right now. I had a snowblower that had this as well.
Oh yeah.
But I guess the easiest way to spot them is you can hear them running. Like they sound like a chainsaw, because chainsaw is one of the devices, I guess, that uses a two-stroke engine. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons for that too. We'll mention that in a moment. But a lot of outboard boat motors are two-stroke.
Good call, Scott.
And there's a list here from our website that mentions dirt bikes, mopeds, jet skis, things like that. But, weed whackers, weed whips, whatever you want to call them, those have one. That's the kind that I have. There's, trimmers, of course, and leaf blowers, and, all types of lawn equipment uses a two-stroke. I found myself getting sick using my snowblower because of the exhaust that was coming back on me. It was just burning so much oil. And that's one of the bad parts about this. We'll get to advantages and disadvantages. I guess maybe we should just dive right into the operation of this thing and see how it works. So
yeah, let's do that. Let's do that first, and then go into pros and cons.
All right. Well, let's. I guess we can talk about the combustion stroke first. So we'll talk about the two strokes. So, let's just say that we'll start right where the spark plug fires, okay?
All right, that's where we are.
So the spark plug has just fired. The fuel-air oil mix, which is another unique thing, is that you mix oil with fuel. So when you get the air and fuel mix in a normal engine, four-stroke engine, you just got fuel and air. When you've got a two-stroke engine, you've got fuel, air, and oil mixed together. And the reason is because there's no oil well, no oil sump. Mm-hmm. So there's no no continuous source of lubrication other than the fuel that you pour into that tank. That's why it's important that you mix two-cycle oil with your gasoline all the time in a two-stroke engine. So this mix in the combustion stroke has just been compressed, and the spark plug fires. And, of course, you know what? It drives the piston back down the way, you know, it normally would in a four-stroke engine.
Sure.
And on its way down, it passes an opening in the cylinder wall, and the opening is the exhaust port. There's no valve for an exhaust like there would be in a four-stroke engine. There is it's really just a machined hole in the cylinder wall, and the piston acts as a valve in this case. The piston acts; it does a couple of different processes. We'll talk about it. The piston's usually a little taller than it would be in a they're small engines usually, but
sure.
The piston is taller because it has to block and then open the exhaust valve and then later the intake valve as well. And those, again, they're just milled ports in the side of the cylinder. So the combustion has just happened. The piston drives itself back down, you know, or it's been driven down by the combustion down to the so it makes its next rotation, passes the exhaust port. The exhaust flows out of the chamber. At the same time, there's a reed valve on the other side where the intake is. And the intake and that reed valve opens up based on the pressure within the cylinder and the crankcase, which is really filled with an air-oil-fuel mix.
Right.
And so the reed valve opens up, and the piston passes that it passes that area. The reed valve opens up right when it passes. You know, it's not connected, as a matter. Mm-hmm. It's off to the side. It's a vacuum situation. That's why it opens, and it allows more of the air fuel oil mixture to get into the cylinder, and then it drives itself. You know, of course, the momentum carries it back up, and the whole cycle starts again. So I know it sounds complex. We've got it's actually really, really simple. We've got a really good drawing on our, or rather, an animation on our website.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In the article, I think it's just how two-stroke engines work.
That's the one.
Simple as that.
It's pretty neat. You can see it. I think, is that the one we have a sound effect on? It took me a second. There's one of our engine animations has a sound effect for the combustion moment.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. No, I guess maybe I have mine turned down or something. But that if you watch, and this is what I do too. I love to watch these animations, and you watch what happens at different points, and you have to watch it, I'll be honest, for quite a long time to get, you know, because you're slowing it down. You're saying, okay, this is happening at the exact time that's happening. And if you really are carefully paying attention to this, because it's a well-done animation, you can really see, you know, exactly what I'm talking about and how it does what it does. And I don't know. I think that's probably a simple enough description of how these things operate. But
oh, yeah. Broke it down for us. Now, the next question people would have would be, why are these two-stroke engines often used in smaller yard equipment, you know, in jet skis, the things that we've named?
Well, for one, they're lightweight.
Okay.
They are also relatively easy to work on. I mean, you know that. You said you work on the ones that you have, right?
I'm going to fix. You know, one of those weed whackers is probably beyond my abilities. It's
okay.
Just, it's had its days,
but
I'm going to fix
one. I think you're pretty talented. I bet you could do it.
Oh, thanks, man.
The other thing is that they're very powerful for the size. Because they only have two strokes, you're getting combustion on every single time the piston approaches the top of the cylinder, versus on a four-stroke engine where it's every other time. So you've got a much smaller engine that's really capable of twice the output, twice the power. But you also want to be able to hold this thing in your hand. You want to be able to lift a chainsaw up to be able to saw off the branch. You
sure.
want to be able to hold the weed whip longer than 10 minutes so you can finish your yard. There's a lot of reasons that it's small. The other one is that you can turn this engine in any orientation you want, and as long as you've got a good fuel I guess the fuel suction is working correctly. The vacuum is working correctly. You can turn it in any orientation you want, and it'll still operate. That's not the case with a four-stroke engine, because you know you've got the oil that's supposed to be down in the crankcase,
right,
lubricating, and that only works in a certain direction. You know, if the engine's in an upright position, so or you know moderately tilted, but these you can flip right upside down, and they'll still operate the exact same way.
But what are the disadvantages then? Because the next question would have to be, well, if these things are so great, if they have such a power to weight ratio, you know, then why don't we have them in more cars? Why don't we have them in larger applications?
Well, you know, honestly, Lotus was working on Lotus is working on a two-stroke engine right now. So there's stuff in development. Now, this is going to be a little controversial because there's a problem that we'll get to in a moment with two-stroke engines that has to do with pollution. And I'm sure Lotus is working on this, but they have started work on a two-stroke engine, and I think that it's going to be tough for them to get this one to pass. I don't think it's going to go, but you never know. I'd never say never on this, right?
Okay.
But you know, take a look around. You can find that Lotus is developing a two-stroke engine. The disadvantages, and here's the reasons why. You don't see a lot of two-stroke engines in cars. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those micro mini cars that we had talked about, the bubble cars, had two strokes.
Yes.
From a long time ago.
Yeah, but, I was going to mention that.
A lot of were you? Oh.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see these engines surrounded by a cloud of blue smoke, and it's burning oil. And there's a reason for that, and that's because you know, the mix that you put in with the gasoline, and you're burning that. Well, not only are you burning oil in the combustion chamber, which you wouldn't be doing in a four-stroke engine, there's a point in that cycle, and if you watch the animation that I mentioned earlier, there's a point in the cycle where the piston has uncovered the exhaust valve, and it's also uncovered the intake valve, and the reed valve is wide open. And so you get a little bit, just a small bit. Now you're talking about the time between when it passes that and when the piston comes back up to block off one of those.
So momentary.
It's extremely momentary, but there's a point where there's kind of a free flow of oil, air, and gasoline, pouring through the engine. Straight
out the exhaust.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you can catch it in the animation. You can see where that point is, and it's really, really quick. But again, if you watch it, you'll see it happen. So a lot of times you'll see, you know, like I said, there's a lot of.
So that's pollution then.
That's pollution.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, really, and it's going to be difficult, especially you know with this the clean air standards that we have to meet and the restrictions that we have. I just don't think there's any way it's going to happen because. When you're mixing this, this concoction that you have to put into the fuel tank,
the gas and the oil,
the ratio is about 4 ounces per gallon of gasoline. Mm-hmm. Now that's a tip, you know, what you use in your home machinery. The problem with that is that when you burn that much oil along with gasoline, if you're talking about in a car, you know, and this distance isn't that great, but for every 1,000 miles you travel, which I don't know. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's like a week and a half for me.
Yeah, that's not too much.
Every 1,000 miles you travel, you would be burning a full gallon of oil in your fuel tank.
I see, because the problem here is one of scale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you're talking about a much bigger engine that is also, it's carrying a lot more weight. It's doing a lot more work, and you're probably using it a lot more often than you do that weed whip. Mm-hmm. Likely. So, you're talking about an awful lot of oil that would be burnt in this process. And I guess that's about it. I mean, the disadvantages come down to the pollution aspect of this thing. And they don't typically last as long because of the lack of dedicated oiling or lubrication.
Right.
So they don't typically last as long. They wear out a little faster.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we have to think if we took these engines, if we did go higher up on the scale and said, forget the pollution, we have that solved, we would still run into the problem of increasing the consumption of oil, which would be, you know, profound.
Oh, sure. It would be astronomical when you multiply that by the number of cars even in one city. It's really something. It's a hurdle that they would have to get past, and I don't know if it's even possible because you are just talking about outright burning oil and gasoline together in order to make this thing work, and it's just the way it operates.
Well, I guess we've got that taken care of. Do you want to do some listener mail?
I would love to do listener mail.
Okay, Scott, you ready?
Ready.
All right, so Keith from Marysville, Washington writes in, and he says, Scott and Ben, I listen to and thoroughly enjoy the podcast on a regular basis. Appreciate the research, go into your sub, you know, we're okay with them, basically. But recently you did a podcast on the Decatur trucks of Japan and took me completely by surprise when you failed to mention what the term Decatur actually means. Decatur is actually Japanese phonetic shorthand for decoration truck in Japanese. In phoneticized English, actually, because it's a foreign term rather than Japanese. And so the full one is, and I'm going to apologize here, Keith, and sorry, Scott, and the internet, but I'm going to try and pronounce this. Decoration, D-E-K-O-R-E-S-H-Y-O-N, Toraku. So Deco and Torah are the first syllables of each word. So technically, he's saying we don't even need the word trucks to follow Decatora because they're decoration trucks, not decoration trucks. And Keith points out he's not normally such a nitpicker, but he's lived in Japan for many years, and he's seen more than his lifetime's fair share of these. He calls them carnival midways on wheels, Scott.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd love to see these in person.
Yeah.
But good point. So we were actually saying every time we said Decatora truck, we were saying decoration truck.
Yeah, which, you know, I think is, you know, an easy mistake. That was my bad, though.
It
I'll
is.
Take a call for that
you
one.
You know, I used to do some technical writing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd have to, this is like with the modules.
Mm-hmm.
You hear this a lot where it's like ECM, which means engine control module. And
yeah.
Someone would say engine control, or they would say ECM module.
Yeah.
And that drove me crazy because it would be, you know, engine control module.
Yeah.
So I can understand where he's coming from. That, you know, there's just that little peeve that, you know, you're saying it twice. You're doing it wrong.
But it wrong. You know, we love hearing mail like this because we also want to make sure that all our listeners are informed too. We hate to misinform people.
Yeah. Keep Ben on his toes because he misinforms me all the time.
I do. I don't know why. I'm so sketchy. As always, thanks for tuning in. This is going to wrap it up for us today. If you would like to see that animation we were talking about earlier, go ahead and search for two-stroke engines in the search bar on our website. And, you know, send us an email if you have any ideas for an upcoming show, any questions, restaurant recommendations, I don't know, limericks. Scott, what do you think?
Photos of your car?
Photos.
A lot of people are sending those, and some of them are great.
Oh, yeah, we should look at those in more depth. And until next time, we will see you later.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.